came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing powers revealing, how he made the lame to walk again, and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. He's built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior. His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Well, it's good to be with you today. I guess I could give a little testimony here on the first part. I was blessed to visit Roger and Pam this morning. I went out last night and stayed with them, and then got to stay with them in the morning, and it was such an encouragement to me. They have been, just such a source of wisdom and support for me, so I was really grateful that the Lord protected me, you know, there and back. I might have sped a little bit to get here on time. But it was a really good visit, so I'm grateful. This afternoon, I'm going to do something a little different in that I'm going to read three scriptures to start off the bat. And you can turn if you'd like. They're kind of all over the place, so good luck. But then we can think about them together. So the first one is Isaiah chapter 40, beginning in verse 29. Isaiah writes, "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint, and the young men shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Another translation says they shall soar with wings as eagles. The second reading comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 7. This is Paul writing. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice or three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of God may rest upon me. And then the final, and it's very short, comes from the sixth chapter of Matthew's Gospel, verse 11. This is part of the Lord's Prayer, or the pattern prayer. It says, Give us this day our daily bread. And that's what I'd like to speak about for just a few minutes this afternoon, the theme, daily bread. I heard a story a number of years ago. I can't remember where it was. I think it might have been at school. But it stuck with me to this day. And it's the story of a man named George who ran an orphanage in England. And he was a missionary in his younger days. And then when he came back from the mission field, he opened an orphanage because he saw just vast amounts of childhood homelessness that were in that part of England at the time. This was maybe mid-1800s, so 19th into the 20th century. But anyway, there was a day he woke up, and it was reported to him, reported to George, that there was no food left in his orphanage. He had about 300 children there, and there was no food left in the orphanage. And George instructed that all the children be gathered into the dining room, and he came down a few minutes later and prayed over the meal, which was strange because there was no food anywhere to be found in the orphanage. And as it goes, a couple minutes later, George got a knock on the door, and it was the baker of the town. And the baker rushes in and he says, I've been up all night. I've been thinking about you, George. I knew that you would need bread this morning. And so I've baked you these loaves of bread. And he brings the bread in. And then a few minutes later, another knock at the door. George opens it. And the milkman's cart has broken down right in front of his orphanage. And there's a bunch of milk that's going to spoil. Can you use this, George? And so by the end of it, all 300 children have been fed. And that story just really stuck with me to see the faithfulness of the Lord, but also the way that George responded in that crisis. But going back for a minute to daily bread, the prayer says, give us this day our daily bread. It's not give us this week our weekly bread or this month our monthly bread. It's not a quarterly ration. It's daily bread. Its shelf life is in the name, daily. It lasts one day. Think about the manna given to the children of Israel in the Old Testament. It only lasted that day. By the next day, it would be rotten. So when we pray for daily bread, we're praying for daily sustenance for today, for the needs of today. Tomorrow will take care of itself. But also notice the return of the prayer, or the tone of the prayer. It expects return. It's kind of bold. Give me the bread. Give me what I need. Though, after all, the Lord instructs, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. We can pray with expectation. We can ask our Father for daily sustenance. The prayer we're invited to pray isn't an expression, though, of outward religion, like the kind you could find in the Old Testament, but it's a religion of the heart. God's hearing of our prayers is not dependent on some sort of priestly intercession or an outward cleansing, but Christ, as the great high priest, grants us direct access to the throne of God. And that direct access allows us to pray to God the Father for daily bread, to God Almighty for little me and little you and our needs for the day. And we can expect a return. And that's the tone of the prayer as well. It expects recurring provision. Give me the bread that you gave me yesterday. Give me the bread I know will be there tomorrow. I thought about, you know, the story. And part of what's so captivating to me about George's story is that when he finds out there's no food anywhere in the orphanage, his first response isn't like, let's make a prayer of, you know, wishful hope. Oh, maybe the kids will find, you know, breakfast at school. And it's not panic either. He doesn't run around, you know, searching for food. The way I understand it, he calmly walked down to the dining room and prayed for a meal that wasn't there. And that's faith. Faith that the Lord would provide for his daily need, even though we didn't know how it was going to happen, even though the odds were stacked against him maybe, didn't seem like there was going to be any food. But he prayed for daily bread, knowing that the Lord would hear his prayer. And he answered it in kind of an unexpected way, if you think about that. So I wonder, you know, if my prayers could be so full of this trust. Trust that God is faithful in his word to what he has, to who he has said he is, even if the outcome or the answer I can't understand or explain. I can't imagine. You know, I don't know if you're like me, but there are times I find it very difficult to pray. Which maybe you're not like me, because we're around some pretty seasoned prayer warriors here. But there have been times in my life where it's been difficult to pray. I don't know what to pray for, but I'm grateful the Lord is kind, and that the Spirit will interpret my innermost groanings. But other times I can only catch myself praying in petitions. Lord, grant this. Lord, stop this. Lord, allow this. And we can pray for things like that. But I found another form of prayer that has been so rewarding for me has been praying in the scriptures. The Lord has given me scriptures to pray, and they're not really petitions, or I'm not praying for anyone else. I'm just praying what the Lord has already said he will do. The Lord's already promised daily bread, but we still pray for it, and we can do this. The two scriptures I read for you, one from Isaiah, soaring on wings as eagles, and the other from 2 Corinthians about the grace of the Lord being sufficient, are two prayers that have really sustained me. And they've helped me to understand from my own life maybe what daily bread means a little bit. And so I want to just consider two points, two things the Lord has really shown me in my life, especially through seasons of walking through the valley. The first is that daily bread requires us to wait on the Lord. And second, that daily bread can often reveal our weakness. Back in Isaiah 40, the instruction is to wait. And the promise is that the Lord will give strength to those that wait upon him. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I remember a season of life I had to pray this prayer almost daily. Because, of course, the temptation is never to wait. It's to exact, you know, my own will or my own plans. You know, waiting as a means to strength renewal doesn't really seem natural. And we don't even really live in a time where waiting is popular. I mean, think about if you've ever heard the term instant gratification. Some people have said that's the time we live in, and you know, you have your cell phones. Most everyone has cell phones now, and you can get pretty much whatever you want, whenever you want it, at a touch of a button. That's hard when we're called to wait, when we live in a time and a culture where we don't really wait for things anymore. It's easy to go inward, to look to our own intellect and our own strength, but the prayer again: those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We want to get stronger, we need to wait. Wait for daily bread. Think back to the story for a minute. George didn't scramble, you know, when he found the pantry was empty. He didn't run into the streets. He didn't hide under his bed. Those are things I'd probably be prone to do if I had 300 children to feed. But he turned to the Lord, and he waited. He waited, he turned to the Lord, and the Lord came to his aid. Daily bread asks us to wait open-handedly for the provision of the Lord. If God can feed the sparrows in the sky, surely he will feed us. And then the second reading here from 2 Corinthians, you know, Paul is describing this thorn in the flesh, a trial that was given to him to bear. And after praying that it would be removed, that the struggling and the weakness would be taken away, the Lord responds to him, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." What a beautiful statement of truth. The Lord's strength is revealed, made known, seen when we are at our weakest. And then Paul concludes that section by saying, "When I am weak, then I am really strong." But it's another counterintuitive thing, because weakness isn't really one of the culture's virtues. You're not taught to be weak. We live perhaps in a society that celebrates the strong and shames the weak. But then Jesus asks us to become like little children, dependent on their parents. Weakness teaches us just how needy we are of the daily bread that our Father gives us. Again, hand out, waiting for the provision of the Lord. It's not in my own strength. Weakness can help us to see daily bread not as something that we earn, but something that the Lord gives to us, a gift of the Lord. You know, I trust that many in this room have received daily bread somewhere along their journey. For some, it very much could be literal food, like the manna that God gave to the children of Israel when they were wandering through the wilderness, or even the bread and the milk that the Lord provided for the orphanage in England. For others, the daily bread could be more spiritual. The Word of God is certainly daily bread for many of us. Fellowship with others. I felt so renewed, perhaps even nourished, after fellowshipping with my friends Roger and Pam over the past couple days. But I want to just consider this before I close. Just as we have been the recipients of daily bread, so also we might be the messenger of it. The Lord worked through the baker, the milkman's accident, to bring food to the hungry orphanage, and he may work through you and me to deliver another's daily bread. So we need to be open to the promptings of the Holy Spirit to meet needs and to serve others. And, you know, there's no greater example of daily bread than Jesus himself. And, of course, he calls himself the bread of life. And he lived through a cruciform example, life, death, resurrection, teaching us how to wait on the Lord, teaching us that when we are weak, we are strong. And so I want to leave you with the words of the Lord found in the 6th chapter of John. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. He that believes on me shall never thirst." Amen.